The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter Number 2, Text Number 5, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on January 16th, 2007, in Thevayuni, Fiji.
So now today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter Number 2, Text Number 5. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Muneya sadhu prishtoham bhavadbir lokamangalam yat krita krishna samparashno yenatma supraseedati. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O sages, I have been justly questioned by you. Your questions are worthy, because they relate to Lord Krishna, and so are of relevance to the world's welfare. Only questions of this sort are capable of completely satisfying the self. Purport. Since it has been stated herein before, that in the Bhagavatam, the absolute truth is to be known, the questions of the sages of Dharmasharanya are proper and just, because they pertain to Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth. In Bhagavad Gita 15:15, the Personality of Godhead says that in all the Vedas, there is nothing but the urge for searching after Him, Lord Krishna. Thus, the questions that pertain to Krishna are the sum and substance of all the Vedic inquiries. The whole world is full of questions and answers. The birds, beasts, and men are all busy in the matter of perpetual questions and answers. In the morning, the birds in the nest become busy with questions and answers. And in the evening also, the same birds come back again and become busy with questions and answers. What is that question they ask? Where is the worm? Where is the worm? Where is the worm?
Where is the
woman?
Where is the meat?
The human being, unless he is fast asleep at night, is busy with questions and answers. The businessmen in the market are busy with questions and answers, and so also the lawyers in the court and the students in the schools and colleges. The legislators in the parliament are also busy with questions and answers, and the politicians and the press representatives are all busy with questions and answers. All they go on making such questions and answers for their whole lives, they are still not satisfied. Satisfaction of the soul can only be obtained by questions and answers on the subject of Krishna. Now do you know why the spiritual master tries to get you to ask questions? Because you're asking them anyway. If you don't know how to ask questions about Krishna, then you will simply ask questions about sense gratification. So one must learn how to inquire about Krishna. Krishna is our most intimate friend, master, father, or son, an object of conjugal love. Forgetting Krishna, we have created so many objects of questions and answers, but none of them are able to give us complete satisfaction. All things with Krishna give temporary satisfaction only. So if we are to have complete satisfaction, we must take to the questions and answers about Krishna. We cannot live for a moment without being questioned or without giving answers. Because the Srimad Bhagavatam deals with questions and answers that are related to Krishna, we can derive the highest satisfaction only by reading and hearing this transcendental literature. One should hear the Srimad Bhagavatam and make an all-around solution to all problems pertaining to social, political, or religious matters. Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna are the sum total of all things. Om Gyanatim Anandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. This is very potent, what Prabhupada has explained. This is a very, very potent thing. How many questions we're asking every day? Just, you can keep a count. What time is Prashadam? You know, so many questions we may ask. So many questions. What's the weather today? So many questions. Who's the latest prime minister? Is there a new coup this week? Is he? So many questions. Questions and answers of them. But unless we can learn to ask questions and answers, as did the sages of Naimisharanya, those questions and answers will keep us entangled in karma chakra, the wheel of birth and death. Our senses are not inclined to inquire about Krishna. What are our senses inclined to inquire about? Sense gratification. The tongue wants to know, where is there something to eat? The ear wants to know, where is there some attractive music? The eye wants to know, where is there a beautiful member of the opposite sex? You see? These senses, they are drawing us to material sense objects. They are asking the question, where is that object of gratification? You see. The senses are actually screaming at us sometimes even. Where is the gratification? Where is that gratification for me? So this is why to become inquisitive about the absolute truth is very, very essential. In fact, it is enjoined in the Vedanta Sutra. You know that verse? Atato Brahma Jigyasa. You must become inquisitive about the Absolute Truth now that you're a human being. You see, the rooster, he's over there cock-a-doodle-doo. He's not inquiring. He wants to know, where is the hen? For sex life, that's so. That's his only inquiry, you see. That human being, he is meant to come to the platform of a tato brahma jigyasa, to inquire about Brahma, the absolute truth. So do you wake up every morning in a mood of wondering, what is the supreme absolute truth? How can I realize the truth? Is that the first thought that comes to your mind when you wake up in the morning? How can I realize the absolute truth? No. We're just thinking, maybe I can sleep a little longer. You see? How much extra sleep can I get away with taking and still get my things done? You see, that's the mind will think that those kind of things. Simply animal consciousness. The point is, our nature is to inquire on the platform of animal existence. If we are not trained. Because of the materialistic society in which we have been raised, our tendency is to think in terms of animalistic questions. If our only inquiry is on the platform of animal, what do you think we will get in our next lifetime? What type of body? Animal. That's all. However, so the point is, whatever your mood of inquiry is, that mood determines your next birth. So now do you understand why it's important to ask the right kind of questions? If your questions are only eat, sleep, mate, and defend, you will get that suitable body. So, what type of body do you want? Do you want a body that gets sick, that gets old, that has to be born and has to die? Do you want that kind of body? Then you better start asking the right kind of questions. Don't remain dull. You see? Don't be dullhead. You must become very, very inquisitive to know the Absolute Truth. In its full details. Do you know the Absolute Truth in all of its full details? No, therefore you should be inquiring. You should become a master of this knowledge. You see? Paramahamsa. You should be eager to become a master of this wisdom. You see? So that requires an inquisitive nature. This is not an entertainment session. We get together with the spiritual master and we hear a few jokes and we chuckle. You see? It is not an entertainment session. Bhagavatam, as Prabhupada is explaining here, Bhagavatam is the sum total of all things. The sum total of all things is manifesting right now in the ether, in this room. So we have the opportunity to submerge ourselves in the sum total of all things and to realize the sum total of all things. So it is very serious business to hear and inquire on the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. We see in the society of devotees that that realization is missing in our ISKCON. So many devotees think it's an option. Well, I can go to class or I can not go to class. I can sleep. I don't really have to go to hear the Bhagavatam class. Because I already know the philosophy. That's what many devotees feel. We see how many devotees... I'm traveling all over the world and I'm seeing everywhere this mood that, well, Bhagavatam class is an option. I can go or I can not go. Because I already know the philosophy anyway. I'm seeing this disease mentality in our society, ISKCON society. What was Prabhupada's, you ever seen the hand, I have it in my computer actually, I have a scanned image of the original rule sheet that Prabhupada posted on the wall at 26 Second Avenue. Anybody wants a copy, I can get a copy from me. Prabhupada's signature, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Acharya. And he says, all initiated devotees must attend morning and evening classes. It's the order of Srila Prabhupada for all of us. You see. If someone lives too far away, then they should read on their own at home every morning and evening. Spend some minutes reading. Open the books and read. Enter into the inquisitive nature to understand the sum total of all things, Srimad Bhagavatam. This desire must be there. Must be there. Inquisitive we must be. So, if you're not inquisitive about Krishna consciousness, we will be inquisitive simply for sense gratification. That sort of inquisitiveness is a dead end street leading nowhere. But this sort of inquisitiveness, who is Krishna? What is my relationship with Krishna? Who is the bona fide spiritual master? What is my relationship with the bona fide spiritual master? How can I make that relationship perfect? You see? These sort of questions enable us to cross over this vast ocean of material existence and enter into the sublime atmosphere of the spiritual world, where we can serve Krishna eternally in any one of five primary rasas, Shantarash, Dasharash, in this way, Sakyarash. The parental rasa, the conjugal rasa, and any one of five primary rasas, we can eternally be related with the Lord in His eternal pastimes in the spiritual world. But we will never attain that abode unless we are inquisitive for these men and regarding this science. If we have no interest to expand our understanding, then what we are doing, whatever we are doing, it is simply shrama eva yukevalam, useless waste of time. What if I'm dull-headed and I have no inclination to inquire? I'm so passionate, I just want to get out and make money. Or, you know, I have a passion, and I use that for Krishna. That's very good. But what if I have no inclination to be inquisitive in matters of Bhagavad philosophy, higher understanding? The absolute truths, highest understanding of the absolute truths. What will I do? How will I develop that inquisitive nature? That is given also in this chapter. Shu, shru, sho. No, it's shru, shu, sho. Yeah. Shru, shu, sho, shradadana, sho. Vasudeva Katarishi Sammahat Sevayavipra Puna Sevana Kirtana. By serving those souls who are completely free from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains an affinity for hearing and inquiring about matters relating to Krishna, Bhagavatam. You see. So, if you have no inquisitive nature, if you're dull-headed in these matters, then serve the Vaishnavas, serve the pure Vaishnavas who are completely free from all material motives. Serve those Vaishnavas, especially. Bhagavatam recommends those Vaishnavas, especially. If you serve those Vaishnavas who are free from all vice, who have no material motive, who is simply wanting to give service to the suffering humanity by delivering them from the cycle of birth and death, then by that service you will develop the inquisitive nature to inquire about these matters. You'll become very, very addicted to hearing, chanting and inquiring about these transcendental subject matters, that will become a very powerful awakened consciousness within your heart by serving the pure devotees. Just like Prabhupada's sister. You know, Prabhupada had a sister, Pishima. She was known to us. That means aunt, auntie. So we called her Pishima because she is the sister of our father, Prabhupada. Pishima was not a great philosopher. She was a very simple woman. She was very humble also. Very, very humble. She felt, I am very contaminated. Whenever she would sit in some place, when she was leaving that place, she would wash it with water. That I am so contaminated. Anywhere I sit, I have polluted that place. So if I get up from one place, I must wash the floor where I was sitting. Because I am so contaminated. So she was a very humble woman in this way, Pishima. But she always wanted to serve the Vaishnavas by cooking. This is the great joy of her heart, to cook for the Vaishnavas. She used to say, what will you eat? What will you eat? What will you eat? In this way, she was always wanting to serve the Vaishnavas with great love, great loving affection. Just like the mother of taking care of the sons, you see. She always wanted to serve the sadhus by cooking for them. So in this way, she became greatly qualified and advanced in Krishna consciousness. Even though she was not some learned scholar or anything like that. That mood of service was her perfection. So in this way, we can become very eager to inquire about the matters of the Absolute Truth by this service attitude. So, we can ask now if there's any question. If there's any inquisitive nature which has been stimulated. Yes.
Guru Maharaj, could you explain, should we inquire again if once, for example, I have asked you a question, you have given me an answer, and actually, sometimes I feel that I haven't realized even that answer. Why should I ask another one? Because instruction was given, answer was given. I'm not able to realize it. I'm not able to follow these instructions. And should I ask it again and again and again? And probably it would help me to realize it faster.
You should do whatever helps you to realize it faster.
But I don't know what to
do. Prabhupada said understanding comes through repetition.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
If you're not fully realizing it, then something, then you should inquire. When you continue inquiring until you fully realize the Absolute Truth, and then you will still inquire. Actually, even the realized souls inquire. Pariksit Maharaj is fully realized soul, but yet he is inquiring. It is a joy of the sadhus to hear, chant, and discuss, inquire on these transcendental subject matters. It is a great joy for them to do this.
Does it mean that we should use our opportunity to listen to that, to discuss that subject again and again and again?
Yes, yes.
And not to feel like, well, everybody knows in this class that I have already asked that question. And next morning, I'm again asking that question. I would look stupid in the eyes of others. And
yes, people are afraid to look stupid. That's one reason they don't ask questions. But they don't realize that they look a lot more stupid by not asking questions. That's their ignorance. They don't realize, but sitting there and not asking any question, that's how they look the most stupid. Is it dull?
Mm-hmm.
dullard. We say, any questions? Anybody just sitting there? Dull. So one should not be dullhead. One should be very inquisitive. Even if the line of questioning is similar to previous lines of questioning. That is that, right? So that you can clarify and fine-tune your understanding more and more and more and more and more. You see? That understanding should be tuned, fine-tuned, more fine-tuned, most fine-tuned understanding of the Absolute Truth. Actually, there's no limit of how far you can refine your tuning. Understanding is like getting tuned into the radio station. So there's no limit in this radio station how much you can refine your tuning more and more and more. It goes on ad infinitum, without limit, for all of eternity. Someone may be amazed to hear that. You mean I can become even more Krishna? Even after I become perfect, I can still become even more Krishna conscious? The answer is yes. Do you think Krishna is fully Krishna conscious? What do you say, Jairam Prabhu? Is Krishna fully Krishna conscious? Huh?
He said yes, but I said no.
Actually, you're both right. Jairam Prabhu says Krishna is fully Krishna conscious. Mataji says no, he's not. You're both correct, and I will explain. Krishna certainly is fully Krishna conscious. He fully realizes himself, but his glories are expanding exponentially at every second. So even though Krishna is now fully grasped and understood his own glories, they have now expanded beyond his own understanding. So as soon as Krishna understands himself fully, his glories have expanded so much that he has gotten behind. And now he must again catch up with his own ever-expanding glory. Prabhupada explains it. So even though Krishna is fully Krishna conscious, he's actually not, because his own glories are expanding exponentially at every second, and he's always trying to catch up with his own ever-expanding glories. So if Krishna consciousness is ever-expanding, because his glories are ever-expanding, then your Krishna consciousness can go on growing and expanding more and more and more without end. Your understanding of the philosophy can become deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. It's not that, well, I already know it, sorry, and I can miss Bhagavatam class. Yeah, I'm not the body. Yeah, Krishna is God. Yeah, all right, Hari Bol. I got something else to do. You see. Don't be misled by my Maya Devi into thinking that you have a very advanced understanding of the philosophy, that you don't need to hear and learn from the spiritual master. You see, don't be misled by the material nature and think like that. You know hardly anything about Krishna consciousness. That's a fact. You know hardly anything. You just barely scratched the surface of understanding this philosophy. Therefore, one should hear every available opportunity to hear from advanced preachers. Every available opportunity, run, greedy for the knowledge, greedy for the understanding, run for that knowledge, you see. So in this way, continue inquiring to refine the understanding more and more and more. That is the proper system. Yeah.
When we are inquiring about God, ourselves, our relationships with God, can there be inappropriate, stupid questions?
Sometimes there are stupid questions. If there's some motive for asking the question other than understanding, that would be a stupid question. Prabhupada actually one time nailed a devotee. He was on a morning walk, and there was all the sannyasis and the GBCs walking around Prabhupada. And he wanted to to get Prabhupada's attention. That's really all he wanted. He didn't really have a question. He just wanted to be noticed by Prabhupada. And he asked some question like, why do we worship Tulsi Devi? I forget, some question about Tulsi worship. And what was Prabhupada's answer? He said, why are you asking this question? And he went, and everybody laughed. Because he didn't really have an... He just wanted to be noticed by Prabhupada. So that would be a stupid question. But then on the other hand, my other godbrother, Jai Pataka Swami Maharaj, when he was a young brahmachari, he had been told that it's always good to ask a question. So he would, every time there was a class, he would very carefully hear the class and then think of some very relevant question according to the subject matter of the class. He would always do that. In those days, the devotees were all working jobs. They weren't doing book distribution, some kirtan collection. So he had one night he had to miss the class because he had to go to work. And he wasn't there, and it came time for questions, and Jai Pataka Das Brahmachari, he wasn't there to ask the question. Prabhupada said, oh, where is that? I don't know if he was initiated yet, but where is he? He asked very nice questions. Prabhupada told the other devotees.
Because nobody was asking questions.
So Prabhupada very much appreciated, and we see Jai Pataka Das Brahmachari. You know, he became Jai Pataka Maharaj and became a very empowered preacher. You see. And what was one of the secrets of his success in Krishna consciousness? That he would hear the class very carefully and think of a very relevant question that pertained to the class. And that mood of inquisitiveness of Jai Pataka Das Brahmachari, you see, that brought him to become one of the great spiritual leaders on this planet, you see. His Holiness Jai Pataka Swami Maharaj, Gurudev, you see. Great, empowered preacher with thousands and thousands of disciples all over the world, you see. So that inquisitive nature helped to make him the advanced devotee that he is. You see. So we should all learn how to be inquisitive in these subject matters. It's a very important thing, how to become inquisitive. I didn't choose this verse consciously, thinking, don't put your hand in your mouth, it's very dirty. Go wash your hand right now and come back. Yeah. I wasn't thinking, well, I want to train everybody to ask questions in the Bhagavatam class, so I will choose this. No, I just opened the Bhagavatam. In this verse, I just saw supersedity completely satisfies the self. I thought that must be a good verse because supersedity completely satisfies the self. It turned out to be a whole verse about the importance of inquiring, questions and answers on the Absolute Truth. So it was a reconfirmation from Krishna. The point that I was making yesterday, that one should inquire, there should be inquiries, you see. It reconfirmed that point.
So yes. I have a question. Someone may not know, ask question, but they are hearing everything. Would that be sufficient, or they have to inquire? There is doubts one may inquire, but if someone is not able to formulate the question, or someone is not able to put up the question, it's absolutely necessary that if otherwise they don't come to hear class, or they can hear the class, and if they have never can untry.
As long as they have an inquisitive mood, even if they just come to the class thinking, what is the highest truth? If they have that inquisitive nature in their brain, what is the highest truth? And they simply hear to get the answer to that question, and that is also good. Even if they don't formulate a question,
But if, what if they just come, they know that I need to hear the Bhagavatam, and they come to hear the Bhagavatam.
Then they're not going to get the full benefit. If someone is not eager to know what is a deeper and more complete understanding of the Absolute Truth, that they don't come with that mood. They can only come thinking, well, I'm supposed to, you know, I'm a devotee, therefore I'm supposed to hear the Bhagavatam. I mean, it's good. But they're not going to get the same benefit if they think that, what can I understand more about the Absolute Truth today? How can I expand my understanding? You see? The one is they're just acting out of duty. The other is they actually have a love for it. You understand the difference? You may do a duty begrudgingly. Well, they asked me to roll the chapatis, so I'll do it, you know. I'd really rather not be here. I'd rather be out at the beach or something, but, you know, I'm going to roll the chapatis because they told me to do it. There's some benefit, but if I'm thinking, wow, I get to roll chapatis that are going to be offered to Krishna. This is an activity of the Brijabasis. In the spiritual world, the Brijabasis roll chapatis for Krishna. This is a Brijabasi activity to roll chapatis for Krishna. You see? Who's going to get more benefit? That person who has great enthusiasm? Just like now, the Mataji is rolling some puris or chapatis there, you see? Who's going to get the most benefit? Someone who does it with love and enthusiasm? Or someone who does it begrudgingly? What do you think? What is the answer? Who gets more benefit? The enthusiastic person or the begrudging person?
The one who does it with love.
That's right. So if one to hear the Bhagavatam with love means inquisitive nature.
Another one point is also that someone may come under the instructions of the spiritual master. Is that begrudging or love?
As we explained, one who has the eagerness to please the spiritual master, to please the pure devotee. If one is hearing just for the sake of pleasing the spiritual master, that is also good. That is love. Spiritual master is person Bhagavatam, and this book, it is book Bhagavatam. So if you have love for the spiritual master, then naturally you have love for the Bhagavatam. Yes, that is natural. You cannot separate.
So attending the Bhagavatam class
to please the spiritual master because you love the spiritual master. Yes. That is also good. Yes. That is also good. I want to go to the class because Prabhupada will be pleased. I want to go to the class because Gurudev will be pleased with me if I go.
Yes.
That is also good.
Okay.
Any other questions?
He is inquiring to find out how he can serve his Guru.
How to serve Guru?
Yes, serve his Guru.
How he can serve his Guru?
Your Guru Maharaj is still on the planet?
Yes,
Bhakti Charismami. You have to.
This question is different. He wants to know how you are serving your Guru.
How I'm serving my Guru?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Prabhupada told me in one letter. He said, I see that you're a very sincere, enthusiastic boy. He said, if you will continue enthusiastically as you are doing, surely Krishna will bless you. So Prabhupada instructed me that I should always be enthusiastic. So now I'm explaining to you the Bhagavatam. If I do it with enthusiasm, then I'm directly serving the order of Srila Prabhupada. You see. If I lead the kirtan, I do it with enthusiasm. If I take prasadam with enthusiasm, you see. Just like I was very enthusiastic to come here with Jairam Prabhu to Tavayuni, you see. I know that by doing my service enthusiastically, that is That is serving Srila Prabhupada, because he ordered me to always be enthusiastic. And he also told me, he said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. Prabhupada orders me to become a pure devotee. You know that verse in Brahma Samhita? Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksa daiva hridayeshu valokayanti yang shama shundaram achyant yuganasvarupam govindam adipurusham tamaham vajami. If your eyes become anointed with the ointment, the salve of love of God, anjana, prem anjana, then you will see Krishna everywhere, within and without. So Prabhupada ordered me that I must become like that. He ordered me that I must become someone whose eyes are anointed with love of God, so that I can see Krishna everywhere, within everything, and everything within Krishna, and Krishna within everything. Krishna within every flower, Krishna within every building, Krishna within every person, Krishna within every piece of dirt on the ground. Krishna everywhere. And within. Prabhupada ordered me to become pure. So I'm striving for them. Every day when I chant my rounds, I'm striving to purify myself so I can see Krishna everywhere, within and without. How to see Krishna in the heart of every living being so I can connect that person with Krishna who is within their heart. You see? Because I know that Prabhupada has ordered me to do that. So by trying to do that, I know that I'm serving Him. So in this way, Prabhupada gave me different. He gave me many personal instructions. But those are the two of them. He gave many instructions, many letters. He wrote me. He instructed me how to distribute books. So many instructions he gave, personal instructions he gave me. So by trying to serve those instructions, plus all the general instructions are here, they're just as personal. Any instruction that Prabhupada gives in his books or he gives in a lecture, they are just as personal as any as something I've received in a letter. So all one has to do is read the books and follow what's in the book. And then you are serving the order of the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. Yes?
I have a question. If there is a big assembly, and in this time and age, there is not many much time, because everybody is engaged in so many things. So, how can everybody ask a question?
I have not had a problem with that, generally. There's not enough time and too many people.
Yeah, sometimes we have to end.
My problem is, sometimes, but generally the problem is that people are dull-headed. They don't have any questions. That's the biggest problem that I see. If there's a situation where there's too many questions, too many people, not enough time, they're welcome to write them down and give me their email address, and I'll email the answer to them later on.
Sometimes in the temples, there is limited time, and managers or the temple authorities, they get upset if the class goes on and on. Just like in Sofia, they have so many questions. So the time goes on and on, and then sometimes we have to just say end.
Well, then they can come for personal darshan and ask their question.
And Riga also.
I want that all the questions shall be answered.
Riga also.
Huh?
Riga also. 9 o'clock we have to end, right?
Yeah, there's some schedule, so the speaker has to judge expertly how inquisitive the audience is and allow enough time that they can get all their questions answered. Can't always know, though, but you try your best intuitively to understand, you know, how much time to allow for questions at the end. But here, I don't think we're... Yes?
They were asking me this question this morning. One of the principles you have to follow is no intoxication.
Yes.
Just like, you know, probably, grog is intoxication.
Yes.
And they're not taking it, but they're planting it for others. How do you see that?
You're planting it and selling it?
Yeah.
Yes. What percentage of your income does it amount to? The whole thing? 50% of your income is grog? But you're not taking it yourself. If you were to... is it possible to replace it with another crop and meet your financial needs? Difficult. I had a similar situation when I was previously. I used to sell airline tickets, and it seems like a pretty, you know, not so, you know, relatively clean. I mean, the people are just flying here. I was selling mostly tickets to India. Seems like a pretty clean profession, you know, selling airline tickets. But then what's included in the price of the ticket? A meal. Actually, most of the people that were buying from me were vegetarians. Because I know they would, you know, they'd ask me, tell me what kind of meal they wanted, you know. But I realized that actually part of my business ended up people were getting fed meat on the airplane from a ticket they bought from me. So it's a similar situation. You see? It's a, kind of an, oh, you go, oh my God. People are getting meat and they may be getting liquor on the plane, you know. Of course, the liquor they may have to pay extra for. But that's very, can I, do you want to take over?
You asked me something.
No, I'm giving an answer.
You said that they may have to pay extra, so I said, yes, they have to pay extra.
They do, okay. So, what do you do in that kind of a situation? Where, you know, it's not completely pure. The way you're earning your living is, you know, it's not completely pure. Just like your radio station, there may be some European hits that encourage illicit sex. There probably are many of European hits that do them. So what do you do if you're in a profession? Think, well, I better just find a completely pure profession where there's no faults whatsoever. Is there such a profession in this material world? No. It's very difficult to find such a profession. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, in every endeavor there is some kind of fault. In every endeavor. So Prabhupada explains in his purport that in the brahminical activities there are faults, even for Brahmins. Kshatriyas, Vaishya, Shudra, in every single occupation there's always some kind of a fault there. The businessman, he says, for you, no profit. He's lying. He's telling you a flat-out lie. This is I'm cutting you a very special deal. Actually, I'm losing money on this one because I like you. He's lying. He's ripping you off big time. And he's telling you that he's losing money on the deal because he really likes you. He wanted to do you a favor. You see? He's lying. There's no way he's losing money. How would he be a successful businessman if he loses money on deals? He's making big money. He's ripping you right and left. Making big money on you. You see? But he's saying, all for you, no profit. So Prabhupada explains that the result of what you do, the result, that will purify it. What you do, the result of it. It's interesting to know, in Vedic culture even there were prostitutes. It's described in the city of Dwarka, they were prostitutes and they were devotees. It's described in Prabhupada's books, they were Vaishnava prostitutes. They were devotees of Krishna, they were prostitutes. Now, not that we're encouraging prostitution, not that we're encouraging grog drinking or meat eating, no. We're not encouraging. We want to stop these things. But somehow or other, we have to make livelihood in this world, so we do it in the purest possible way. But the key is the result must be offered to Krishna. That's the key. Every penny must be spent in a Krishna-conscious way. That's the key. What are you doing with the profits? That's what Krishna will see. What are you doing with the profits? Are you buying mundane DVDs? Bollywood DVDs? You see? Or is it only Krishna Katha going aloud in your house? Is your house an ashram? Or is it a place of sense enjoyment? Is it strictly an ashram? Or is there a little sense enjoyment allowed? An ashram, when the sadhus come and when the sadhus go, it becomes a place of sense enjoyment. You see? That's where you have to be strict. On livelihood, you have to do whatever is practical. Keep it as pure as you can, but at the same time, you have to be practical. So, any other questions? Did that answer the question sufficiently? Any other questions? Yes.
I'd like to add in that connection with Prabhu's question that on my radio station, songs are not the main problem. The main problem are products we advertise. For example, we have to earn money, we have to advertise McDonald's, we have to advertise companies producing condoms or things that, like that. And
what percentage of your ads are coming from McDonald's and condoms?
The problem, I can't say percentage, but there is another problem. Hmm. The problem is that I can't say no to them.
Legally?
It's legally, because these are legal products, and if they pay money, I have to advertise to them. Otherwise, I could lose my license. But what I try to do, anyway, I'm meditating on that, because they're always...
But what happens if somebody already bought the ad space?
Sorry?
What if somebody else already bought the advertising space and said, sorry, we have no vacancies, just like at a hotel? If
then
somebody
in that
bought.
Case, yeah. In that case, because there's.
Then you can say no,
then
legally.
Then we can say no. Legally.
Then you should go after. You should court the advertising dollars of those types of things which are more conducive for spirituality. You should actually, you know, aggressively court those sort of advertisers. So the other ones say, sorry, no vacancy. All ads are sold. 2007 is already sold out, sorry. You see, in that way you can do it.
But then we for example, regarding McDonald's, our policy is, well, we can advertise your French fries, your salad, but we are not going to advertise your burgers. So this is our policy, that's all. So
so they back off then? Or they go ahead?
No, they are, but this is, I don't know yet, but because we announced it.
He's inquiring.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is...
That's legal though in your country, you can do that?
I don't know.
It's like a shade of gray.
Well, but my point is, I'm trying to meditate, to find some solutions, or for example...
Krishna will help you. Teisham satata yuktanam bhajatam vatipurvakam. Tadami buddhi yogam tam yena mama piyanti te. To those who are constantly devoted and worshiping with love, I give them the understanding of how they can come to me, and how, and coming to me means how you conduct your activities. Krishna will guide you how to manage your radio station in such a way that you will become a pure devotee. So you don't have to be worried about it. You just try sincerely to do everything for Krishna's pleasure. And he will give you the intelligence to understand exactly how to manage your radio station's advertising policies in such a way that you will get out of this material world in this lifetime. And you can also help other people to get out of it. Krishna will help you. Interesting case study there. Any other questions?
There was an example in Fiji. When Gurudev was there, two of our bhaktas were running a supermarket.
What kind of market?
They were running a supermarket.
Supermarket.
They're selling liquor, they're selling meat and everything. So Gurudev said, I'm not going to initiate you. But there were still no devotees, they were chanting, they would serve the devotees. And a time came, they became bankrupt. They lost the supermarket. They are now initiated devotees.
Yeah, and there is another example. When when Prabhupada met with Punjas, they were also selling. Yeah, they were selling, and Prabhupada said they used it for Krishna, and they allowed, Prabhupada allowed them. And told them, in due course of time, you can gradually give it up. It can be given up, it's good. But it's business.
Yeah, that's also them. Anything else? All right then, we'll stop here. Antaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.